Good evening, everyone. I'll ask we all rise for the pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
and justice for all.
I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Gracie Smith.
Gia DeGooch.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Queeteck.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Vicente.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
I am here. Thank you. We have a few citations this evening honoring a few recently retired city employees. However, we do not have any of them present, so we will mail those citations out to those employees. We're going to start with the public hearing tonight. Prior to the consideration of the regular agenda items, City Council will conduct a public hearing to accept public comment on the city's pollutant reduction plan. The purpose of the plan is to identify water quality, stormwater best management practices to reduce sediment loading to impaired local surface waters over a five-year time period. This public hearing is for informational purposes only. There will be no vote this evening. In connection with the public hearing, there is one document, a memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, dated February 18th, 2022, requesting a hearing and explaining the request. Public hearings are conducted as follows. I will recognize Mr. Alcohol, the Director of Public Works, to discuss the city's pollutant reduction plan. Members of council will then have an opportunity to make comments and ask questions. And then last, I will recognize the public for any comment. The public hearing is called to order. I'll turn to Mr. Alcohol to discuss the pollutant reduction plan.
Can you do it to this mic?
Thank you.
This mic is better. Thank you.
You're a gentleman, Mr. Alcohol.
Thank you. Kind of gave an overview of the purpose of the plan, but I'll just state that the plan is required as part of the city's NPDES MS4 permit. As you said, it's a plan that's prepared by the city that outlines and evaluates best management practices that will reduce pollutants from entering waters of the U.S. from surface water runoff from the city. The permit is renewed every 5 years and the plan is updated accordingly every 5 years. The initial plan was prepared in June of 2020. We have been working with DEP. We received comments back from them and then we submitted what we hoped was a final plan, and we actually had a previous public hearing, as you may recall, in February 2021, where the public had opportunity to comment on the plan. The plan is also on our website. Obviously, this meeting is advertised to encourage the public to review and comment on the plan. And the reason for this second public hearing is that we received additional comments from the DEP. The plan was revised by the city and resubmitted, and part of the requirement for the receivable, if there's sufficient changes to the plan, we hold another public meeting to encourage public participation, and that's what we're doing tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Alcohol. Any other input from anyone else in the administration? Thank you. I'll turn to members of council. Any questions or comments from Mr. Alcohol? The only question I have, Mr. Alcohol, the plan is on the city's website, correct?
That's correct.
And per the notice we received, comments, written comments can be submitted for 30 days from the date it was posted, correct?
That's correct. And the city will prepare responses to those comments and submit them to the EP along with the revised plan.
Thank you. Just want to note that for anyone who catches the meeting later or is following along, there will be opportunity via the city's website to review the plan and give input if they're not here tonight. Thank you, Mr. Alcohol. I'm going to turn to public comment. Is there anyone in the audience who wanted to make comments solely on the public hearing this evening? For our YouTube viewership, I will give a brief opportunity to call in if anyone wanted to. The call-in number is 610-997-7963. Again, that is 610-997-7963. Thank you, everyone. The final pollutant reduction plan will be distributed to the city on a future date. The public hearing is adjourned this evening. Moving on to our regular agenda. Approval of the minutes for January 18th, 2022. Any comment on the minutes? Minutes shall stand approved. We're going to turn to our first public comment of the evening. Just a reminder to our YouTube viewership at home, if you start this meeting after 7 p.m., please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. If you signed up to speak in person during the first public comment on any items not being voted on this evening, I'll invite you first to the lectern, then I will open it up to the rest of the room, and then I'll turn to any phone-in comments if we have anyone who wants to make comment. So I will start with our first public comment, anything not being voted on this evening. Our first individual signed up is Dan Church. I invite you up. And sir, if you don't mind saying your name and address for the record when he gets to the lectern. Thank you.
Daniel C. Church, 435 Brighton Street rear in Bethlehem. Yeah, my name again is Dan Church, residing at 435 Brighton Street. For a short time, I was editor of the Bethlehem Globe Times. At university, I majored in American Studies with a focus on architectural history. During two college summers, I worked at the Smithsonian Institution researching landscape architecture of the 1850s. During a final college summer, I led a team preparing an inventory of architecture on the eastern shore of Maryland under the Department of Interior's Historic American Building Survey. In Bethlehem, in 1970-71, I assisted the dean of Yale's Department of Urban Planning in developing an alternative plan for Bethlehem downtown. It emphasized retention rather than demolition of existing structures. It was summarily rejected by the city, but time has proven many of its recommendations viable. I offer this bio as a background to my initial enthusiasm for the Wilbur Mansion development. As for the apartment block, I had figured that the mature trees along Brighton Street combined with required plantings along the development's skirt would suffice. I was overly optimistic.
May I approach?
Yes, sir.
These are the current state of Brighton Street. This is the scene along Brighton Street after the clear cutting of street trees, all with a diameter, a caliper of 12 to 14 inches. They will be replaced, I am told, with trees less than a quarter of that diameter, trees also that will be considerably shorter than those they replace. Sorry. The city has its reasons. I don't consider them sufficient for harm done. So, this makes buffer planning remain required by the developer of the developer more important as a visual barrier. But here is a problem. Again. photo shows the debris field where the city requires planting.
Final set.
This photo shows a literal cover-up as the backhoe spreads a coating of soil over debris now buried along the planting area. A licensed landscape architect, a friend, said that it's best practice. Proper site preparation requires removal of all debris, replacing it with topsoil. As shown, he said, the plantings will die. I may be wrong, but as I understand, there is no statutory requirement for a developer other than to plant, not for any plant to live at all. I recognize the developer, John Noble, is somewhat of a hero for retaining a chimney vital to migratory birds, but these are migratory here for only a few days annually. We have been here in Bethlehem since 1972, 365 days per year. I really don't expect the city, which clearly cleared thriving street trees, to care whether the developer is planning to die, or to care whether we have any viable screen as stipulated by city code. I'm just very disappointed. Any questions?
Thank you for your comments this evening, Mr. Church. You're welcome to retrieve your photos if you wanted to take them with you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Our next speaker invited up to the lectern this evening is Mr. Arthur Curatola.
Hi, I'm Artie Curatola from 813 Lawford Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. living here mostly all my life. I'd like to talk about the situation of parking in our city. I went through countless meetings with the Bethlehem Parking Authority, and I gave them countless ideas to go ahead and help the situation in parking, so they'd be an authority on parking. And they did countless of number of nothings. I ministered through my Bible Belt, Protestant, Catholic, Baptist, all kinds of different denominations. And he said basically one thing in all of them. Every denomination, keep sacred the Sabbath day. I'm not saying that police should not be getting somebody if they're criminals, but to go ahead and give people tickets in parking lots on a Sunday when there's very little places to park to begin with, I think it's an abomination of God, especially in the city of Bethlehem, which is named after the city that Christ was born in, and we even reinforce it, calling it the Christmas City. I am a handicapped military veteran. I try to make a living yet as a musician. Now, if you know musicians, you know we don't get more than $50 to $75 on a Friday or a Saturday night. But if we come back to our home after doing a performance for 3 hours, setting up for an hour, tearing down for an hour, for $50 or $75, and we can't find parking in our local area, nowhere, not even by the meters, nowhere. I don't think the parking authority is being an authority. So I parked in their lot. I got a ticket. Sure, we need to get the streets taken care of, but to get them taken care of at the expense of handicapped senior citizens that are veterans of the United States who made it possible that many people have jobs in our country who never served in the military, I think is also an abomination of God. I think something needs to be done about the situation with parking. The parking authority is not an authority. We need to make them an authority to make them look right to the city of Bethlehem. That's only two issues. One, keeping sacred the Sabbath day. Two, making money off of the expense of handicapped senior citizens that served our country. You go around Lawford Street, Yosco Park area, on a Friday night, anytime after 10 o'clock, you'll have a hard time finding parking. You go there around 2 o'clock in the morning, forget about it. You're not going to find a parking space, even down on 4th Street. You can walk 10 blocks to go ahead and get to your house if you find, maybe find parking. It's hard, very hard to find parking. We need to do something about this to make our city look better. We need to make the parking authority a parking authority. We, the taxpayers, give them the right to use our streets to take money from us. Something's wrong with that picture. But the thing is, okay, if it's going for a good cause, but to take it at the expense and to go ahead and not keep sacred the Sabbath day, give tickets on a Sunday in their lot if somebody parks, I think it's an abomination of God. And go ahead and be making money from handicapped people is an abomination of God to begin with. Senior citizens are an abomination of God. But handicapped senior citizens that are military veterans, that kind of gets me. Because I put my life into harm's way in 1968 during the Vietnam conflict. And this is what I get. But anyway, that's only me. Maybe I'm one in a few. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. I'll open the first comment up to the room, starting over here on the left. Is there anyone? Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eddie Rodriguez, 701 Main Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. First of all, there are individuals on council, including others in the audience that either cannot hear what yous are saying at times, and we made the request. And I'd like for yous to acknowledge that some of yous are soft-spoken with respect to council members. And there are others that at council sitting that talk to Michael Colon while in a meeting and you're not talking to the audience. And then your microphone is way back. Talk into the mic, please, so that we can hear you clearly. That's out of respect, okay? We want to hear what Jews have to discuss. But when it's a private issue, that's fine. Other than that, I'm not going to pinpoint anybody, but you should know that we need to hear from you. My comments tonight are the Moravian houses where I live. It's a grave concern of mine because from secondhand smoke, I have emphysema for life. I never had emphysema. And that's a grave concern. I am getting worse, but it's not cancerous, but I am getting worse. I suffer the consequences of it every night. because of where I live and the living conditions that are there. I am asking the city to do something about this. Though Moravian houses are privately owned, and that's the issue, it's privately owned, so they could do whatever they want. And that's, I think that the rules should be changed with reference to that. I've talked to HUD. They told me the same thing. Because it is privately owned, they can do whatever they want. So, I talked to Harrisburg. Same issue. Now I'm talking to city council members. Because I've done a little research, just a little bit, enough. You know that some of the health effects of secondhand smoke are cardiovascular disease, lung cancer, SIDS, sudden death syndrome, and it also harms children. Out of a combination of smoke from the burning end of a cigarette and the smoke breathed out by smokers, that's a health hazard in itself. And that's what I'm going through. I smell it every night coming through the walls, because what they do is the vinyl on the bottom is put on there as a decorative piece. But what's there behind the wall is what the city should be after. And that should be inspected, because they leave holes. I've seen it in my own eyes. Holes, cracks, and the walls do not meet as Moravian House states onto the concrete floor. They do not. And that's a grave concern, because not only do you have holes and cracks, you also have separation from the wall and the concrete floor. And that's where it makes it a lot more dangerous and hazardous for people that don't smoke. And people that have health issues nowadays, like asthma, which is a major killer wherever you go, and people that suffer from that. And that includes more in children that have severe asthmatic attacks, respiratory infections, and again, the SIDS, sudden death syndrome. And the exposure to secondhand smoke has an immediate adverse effect on the cardiovascular system and can cause coronary heart disease and stroke. That is a grave concern of mine. As you notice right now, I'm very dry. That's one of the effects that I have. Causes me to look for either water or liquid so I can lubricate my throat and I can get hoarse very easily. So I have to limit myself. Other folks are going through the same issue, folks. And I need for you to really consider that the city should do something. What goes for one goes for the rest of the city. I'm asking you to really inspect behind the walls before they put that vinyl stripping at the bottom base and tell them to fix it. And the other thing is, with all due respect, they had cancerous and hazardous building material inside the building. And one of them was 809, where I used to live, and they transferred me over to 805. I was there for 9 years taking all that in. And that's why I accumulated and now suffer for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Yeah. Is there anyone else on the left who likes to make comments tonight? Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1890 Eaton Avenue. One of my favorite lines from Casablanca is when the chief of police, who's played by Claude Rains, is told to do something about something that's happened. And he says, round up the usual suspects. Tonight you have four of the usual suspects. I have here a copy of the draft historic preservation plan prepared for the city of Bethlehem in 2010 by a firm from Hoboken, New Jersey, 150 pages. And I would like to read to you one paragraph from this plan. It's on page 4. This plan envisions a diverse and wide-ranging future role for historic preservation as, this is a little awkward, as an essential strategy for maintaining Bethlehem's unique sense of place, a powerful tool for economic development and community revitalization, a significant generator of jobs, income, and tax revenues, a key element of the environmentally sustainable city, a vital approach to understanding how diverse cultures have come together to shape the society we know today, and a broad, inclusive project that integrates a preservation ethic into community decision-making so that historic resources are identified, preserved, experienced, and enjoyed. As you might have noted from the date, this was done during the Callahan administration. And as a matter of fact, there was a Bethlehem task force of residents who included a member of the present city council. We seem to have gotten away from such sentiments and have been hearing more about game-changing development to quote the preceding mayor, which features cookie-cutter apartment buildings of no distinctive and appreciable aura, shall we say. I'm thinking, of course, of the Boyd Theater project. Now, you may have seen in the papers that there's a new design for that project, which I find a significant improvement. It's not great, but it's a significant improvement from the original design, which I had an exchange with a member of the Planning Commission who said that contemporary architecture highlights the historic architecture elsewhere. If I had a chance to make a rejoinder, I would have said something like bad contemporary architecture really highlights historic architecture nearby. But ironically, sometime after that, I saw a photo of a historic tenement building in New York City from turn of the last century. And there was a remarkable similarity between that photo and the original design of the Boyd Theater project. So in a way, it was historic, but not terribly good historic. Anyway, bottom line is we are not paying enough attention to historic preservation, especially on South New Street and West 3rd Street. Historic buildings are being demolished. I think it's a mistake. And let me return to those words. Sense of place. When you have cookie-cutter apartment buildings, there's no sense of place. It's just, they're just there. It's something you live with, you endure, you tolerate. Let us save what gives Bethlehem a sense of place. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone in the center who'd like to make comment during public comment this evening? Mr. Antalis?
you.
Stephen Italic, 77 Ridge. I found very amusing, or rather interesting, reviewing many of the votes which involved developers' interests, primarily on the south side. And what I found quite fascinating is that many votes were 4-3. And also a recent report in the paper that 6 of the 7 council members expressed a concern for historic preservation of the South Side in the future. So after reflection, it became clear that these votes were gender-oriented, which is fascinating. Why? Interesting thing is that the issue on these developmental issues, votes were based upon developers' wish or the people of the South Side's wish, whose will was given the sway, clearly the developers. Both genders had the same facts before them. So why this consistent difference? So reflecting further, I once read, some philosopher said sometime that if women raise their families according to patriarchal standards, society as we know today will not exist. If you break that down into layman terms, what it's saying is that men will take lives to preserve the law, and women will break the law to save lives. So that's what implies a natural caretaker tendency, which might be innate to a gender, which is probably true, because I remember some time ago a grad student in robotics was asked to make a human, make a perfect hand. Guess what his design looked like from the computer? This, what we use today, way back, which means nature always makes the best choice. So we all know who brings life into the world. So maybe having caretakers on city council might be the best thing that's happened. And the vote seems to reflect that. So sadly, I feel that had this gender bias existed 20 years ago, the South Side would not be in a sad state.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. Is there anyone on the right side of the room that wants to make comment tonight? All right, I'm going to turn it again briefly over to our followers at home. If anyone wants to call in to our City Council hotline, 610-997-7963. Again, that is 610-997-7963. We're going to move on through the rest of the agenda, turning it over to the second public comment. Second public comment is reserved for anything being voted on tonight, any ordinances or resolutions on the agenda. There's no one previously signed up, so I'm going to open it up to the room. I'll start over on the left-hand side. Is there anyone who wants to make comment on anything on the agenda tonight? Facing the center, anybody who wants to make comment? Mr. Antalis, you're welcome back up to the lectern.
same person. I can't pick it out, but there's only in the resolutions an approval for an award to Ronka. I think, I forget what resolution it is, but the question I have is, since this current council seems to be looking at things with a magnifying glass, the question is, are these awards put out for a public bid? And does anyone on council know whether, I can't find a specific resolution, but it's the one involving can anyone help me pick it up?
6E.
The lead service line.
Okay. Well, anyway, was that, does city council look into these bids and see whether they're done by proper procedure and is it for a competitive bid, and was this by competitive bid? Because some of these people who get these awards have connections to the city from other areas, so I just don't want to see any kind of patronage going on. So, but anyway, I would suggest city council take a close look at this and continue the watchdog approach. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment during second public comment tonight? Looking at you, right side of the room, no one. Again, we'll kick it over to our followers at home. The phone number is 610-973, correction, 997-7963. Anyone wish to call in to speak on anything being voted on this evening, that will be 610-997-7963. All right, thank you everyone for your comments. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of the council? None this evening. Moving on to communications, communication 6A.
Memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with AECOM for risk management plan compliance audits for the Bethlehem Water Filtration Plant and the Bethlehem Wastewater Treatment Plant. The contract runs from the notice to proceed until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $16,900. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda tonight. 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Traffic Planning and Design, Inc. for traffic signal upgrades at Club Avenue and Union Boulevard and Linden Street and Gep Street. The completion date is December 31st, 2022. The cost is $30,400 and there are no renewals.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda this evening. 6C.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a contract with Garden State Fireworks, Inc. for 4th of July fireworks with a July 5th rain date. The cost is $33,000 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. 6D.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John Spurk with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is St. Luke's University Health Network, and the event is the 2022 Boutique at the Rink, running from May 4th through June 6th at Early Schaefer Ice Rink.
And that resolution will be on the April 5th council agenda. 6E.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Michael F. Ronka & Sons, Inc. for lead service line replacement. The term runs from the notice to proceed until April 30th, 2023. The cost is $2,587,447.50. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from John Spurk, City Solicitor, recommending a contract with Campbell Durant PC for labor and employment legal counsel on an as-needed basis. Estimated cost is $100,000 for calendar year 2022.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda. 6G.
A memorandum from City Assistant Solicitor Matt Deschler, with an attached proposed bill amending Article 1733 titled International Property Maintenance Code to adopt the 2018 version of the International Property Maintenance Code.
The bill will be placed on the April 5th council agenda for first reading that night. 6H.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Semmel Excavation LLC and Telco Inc. for streetscape improvements on South New Street between 3rd Street and Morton Street. Completion date is December 31st, 2022. The cost is $1,652,619, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. 6I.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, with an attached resolution to allow the city to accept PA Department of Conservation and Natural Resources grant funds to fund the Fairview Park Revitalization Project.
Resolution 10I is on the agenda. 6J.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, with two attached resolutions to allow the city to accept grant funds from both the Northampton County Open Space Initiative Livable Landscapes Grant Program and the PA Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. The city wants to use the grants to help fund the expansion of the Monocacy Trail from Shannerfield Road to the D&L Trail.
Resolutions 10J and 10K are on the agenda this evening. Continuing on to reports, I have nothing tonight. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, President Colon. I just wanted to, we don't have much to report tonight, but I do want to congratulate Chief Aki, much to his chagrin. He is celebrating 30 years with the city of Bethlehem today, I believe it is, or tomorrow. So we wanted to wish him, we wanted to thank him for his service as a city. But other than that, that is all for my report today. Mr. Colon, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Rounds. Congratulations, Chief. Finance Committee report. Dr. Eden.
The Finance Committee met on Tuesday, March 8th, 2022 at 6 p.m. The committee discussed seven agenda items. The first agenda item was to review a proposed adjustment to the general fund year-end budget. The second agenda item was to review a proposed adjustment to the golf fund year-end budget. The third agenda item was to review a proposed adjustment to the non-utility capital improvement fund year-end budget. The fourth agenda item was to review a proposed adjustment to the water capital fund year-end budget. The fifth agenda item was to review a proposed adjustment to the sewer capital fund year-end budget. The sixth agenda item was to review a proposed adjustment to the Community Development Block Grant Fund year-end budget. And the seventh agenda item was to review a proposed bond issue by the Bethlehem Authority. Committee votes were taken on each of the seven agenda items, and for each item, the Finance Committee voted to recommend placement of appropriate legislation on one or more future council agendas. The budget adjustment ordinances are on tonight's agenda for first reading. The bond parameters ordinance will be on a future council agenda. Submitted by myself, Wandalyn J. Enix, Chair, Finance Committee.
Thank you, Dr. Enix. So we don't have any ordinances for final passage tonight, so we're going to move on to new ordinances. The clerk will read Bill 1 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 general fund budget. Bill 1, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of council this evening? I'll just say briefly, I was able to attend all but the last few minutes of the Finance Committee meeting, and I'll be supporting all these as proposed tonight. So seeing no discussion, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk will read Bill 2 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Golf Course Enterprise Fund budget for 2022. Bill 2, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of council? Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Colon, sorry about that.
Still the same person. Bill passes 7-0. The clerk will read Bill 3 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 3, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Also passes 7-0. The clerk will please read Bill 4 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 capital budget for water utilities. Bill 4, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk, please read Bill 5 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 capital budget for sewer utilities. Bill 5, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The clerk will read Bill 6 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 6, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to resolutions this evening. The clerk will read Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller under such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the American Association of University Women for the 60th Annual Book Fair from April 4th to May 2nd, 2022. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of Council? Clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Move on to Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller under such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Work to Live LLC doing business as Run Lehigh Valley for the Brew to Brew Run event on April 9th with an April 16th rain date. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and under such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with AECOM for risk management plan compliance audits for the water filtration plant and the wastewater treatment plant. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of Council? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Grancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to Resolution 10D.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Traffic Planning and Design, Inc. for traffic signal upgrades at Union Boulevard and Club Avenue, Linden Street, and Gep Street. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion by members of Council? Clerk, if you'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Garden State Fireworks, Inc. for July 4th fireworks. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Michael F. Ronca and Sons, Inc. for lead service line replacement work. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of Council?
Mr. Cologne?
Yes, Councilwoman Quiatek.
Thank you. I have just one comment and one question. The comment is, in reading and doing my due diligence, I see that there were six bids on this project, and Michael Ronca and Sons were found to be the lowest responsible contractor bidding on the project. So I just wanted to make sure that that was out there. But my question is just how many lead service lines will this project replace, and what percentage that constitutes in terms of the overall need for our city's water lines, if someone could answer that.
Mr. Bosco is coming to the microphone, Ms. Quiatek.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ed Boscola, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The target is roughly 300 to 350 lead service lines to be replaced under this project. And we don't know what percentage that is of the total number of lead service lines because we don't know exactly how many lead service lines we have in the city.
Do we know how many service lines there are overall?
37,000.
Okay.
We suspect there may be several hundred or maybe 1,000, I would say maybe in the low thousands, maybe of lead service lines that may be in the city. We will be obligated under the revised lead and copper rule, which the EPA and DEP have been developing over the past several years, which does not go into effect yet until next year, 2023. The goal is to remediate all lead in all water systems across the country. That's obviously a big undertaking, and we will do what we have to do to find all the lead. And it's going to require a lot of exploratory digging and excavation. So this is just the start of our attempt at remediating all the lead in the city system.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of Council? Dr. Enix?
I would just like to say that this is an excellent acquisition for Bethlehem. $2,587,447. It's a PINVEST grant, and we should be very proud of Mr. Boscola and his office. Thank you.
Councilwoman Cranston-Smith.
Thank you. And I agree, Dr. Enos. I just have a question. Does the grant cover the total cost? Is there any matching fund that the city must put in?
It's 100%. Right. Now, we did, in the finance committee, we did add some more city funds because we had some money available in the city's water capital fund because we want to do more if we find them. So we want to err on the side of doing more. So if we get to the point where we're the contractors out there digging up the streets, replacing lead, we get to say 300, 350. If we have money left over, we're going to try and keep going until the money runs out. So.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Thank you, Ms. Boscolo. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to Resolution 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Campbell Durant PC for Labor and Employment Legal Counsel. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of council? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Semmel Excavation LLC and Telco Inc. for new streetscape work. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Just before I turn to other members of council, quick question for the administration, maybe Mr. Alcohol. If we could just speak to the scope of the project that's going to be going on there up to Morton, and then also in our communication, all the different funding sources are identified. Is the city putting any of our dollars into this, or is it strictly from different grants and community partners?
As far as the funding, there's a little bit of, well, actually, only funding that's coming from the city is the Bethlehem Tree Developers Fund, which obviously the revenue to that is generated by fees that the developers pay. The rest of it is there was a $1 million multimodal transportation grant. Lehigh University contributed over $500,000 to the project. Some of the funding we're using is also $80,000 from turning back that section of New Street through the city from PennDOT, used to be a state road. Chris is contributing $74,000. There was a Northampton County Investment Partnership Program grant for $50,000. And the Developers Fund that I mentioned previously, that's what constitutes the total funding for the project. As far as the scope of work, the project limits are from, obviously, Third up to Morton. Bulk of the work consists of removing sidewalks and replacing them with decorative sidewalks, pavers, realigning a small section of the greenway that would be east of South New Street, and installing a special crosswalk for the greenway crossing New Street next to just south of the Benner Building. Obviously, all other ancillary work, upgrading the ADA ramps, addressing any stormwater issues or any other utility issues, make sure I don't miss anything. Part of the total project also includes some lighting, tree replacement, replanting, some bollards, lit bollards. There was a, the overall project also was proposed was a bus shelter, somewhat of a special, unique bus shelter. That's the bulk of the scope of work. The project was first was initiated and developed back in January of 2017. We bid the project last year but received high bids and could not proceed, so we rebid it again. When we went to bid on it the second time, because of what we discovered as far as the increasing cost, we bid it with a base bid and alternates. And what we have funds to do and are asking for approval for a contract to proceed with is the decorative sidewalks that I mentioned and all the work associated with that, crossing, the Greenway crossing, and we will, not as part of this contract, we will certainly put a new overlay repaving of the streets. What isn't part of right now is the bus shelter and some additional streetscape on the south side of Morton Street. The limits right now in this work is the north side curb line along Morton unused.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Alcohol. Any other questions or comments from other members of council? Councilwoman Francis.
Thank you. I was just going to say at the recent Southside Forum, in the one session that I was in, this is exactly what the residents wanted. They mentioned all these things, so this is a great thing. And it's great, it's on South New Street. I know many of the business people on 4th Street mentioned that they would like to see some of these things on 4th Street, so hopefully at some point in the future we can go on 4th Street and do some of these improvements. But thank you, this is great.
Any other questions or comments? Dr. Van Wert?
I just wanted to say a general thing, which is sometimes the work of council is dull as mud with risk management, compliance plans, and record destructions and budget adjustments, but it is so good to be voting on things that are going to have a direct impact on the quality of life for our citizens. That includes the lead service line replacement. It includes the changes on New Street and the other things that we're going to be voting on tonight, including the Fairview Park revitalization and Monocacy Way expansion. And I just say thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think these are good things, and it's a pleasure to vote on solid progress as well as the things that keep the city running. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mayor. Any other comments or questions from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll. Thank you, Mr. Alcohol.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-I.
This resolution resolves that the grant agreement binding the applicant and the grantee and any amendments may be executed by the mayor. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-J.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the municipality as follows, that the city approves the filing of an application for funds under the Livable Landscape Grant Program, and that the Department of Community and Economic Development is hereby authorized and directed to execute and file appropriate forms with the Northampton County Conservation Coordinator. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of council? I'll just ask if someone from the administration could give an overview of what it is, because 10J and 10K are both related to the Monocacy Way expansion, so if we can just get a little bit of background about the overall project, please.
Certainly, thank you. This is not the first time we've applied for funds for this project, so we feel a little bit encouraged that we'll be able to work with DCNR and Northampton County to move forward. We did a trails feasibility study a few years ago, and it outlined the significant trail gaps that we have to really create a network for trails in the city. and we, with Public Works, is completing the northern end of the Monocacy Way Trail from Shanersville Road north to Illix Mill. That's substantially completed. It'll be fully completed in the spring. And this project really would close the gap from Shanersville Road to upgrade Monocacy Way down to Union Boulevard where it is now, and then continue that to extend it down to the D&L Trail at Sand Island. Really the goal is to basically connect everything to the D&L Trail. That's the spine of the trail system throughout the region. So we have two partners that we've worked with on several projects. DCNR has been an excellent partner with us for many of our parks projects. Their grant is required to be a 50-50 match. And coincidentally, Northampton County is now accepting applications for parks and open space projects that also require a 50-50 match. And so we can use the two of those to substantially provide the funds that we need for the overall project. It's about $880,000. So we think that's a pretty significant connection for us. I think you're probably all familiar with the area. It goes through the Colonial Industrial Quarter, and Sand Island really is a regional park. So we're looking forward to moving forward with design of the project.
Thank you, Ms. Heller. I appreciate it. I know a lot of these projects, especially when we're talking about trails, are not things that happen within a calendar year, and they take time and happen in many phases, and identifying funding sources and partnering with other levels of government and other organizations. So I appreciate you and everyone in the department, the time and energy that it takes to not only stay on task, but to continue rolling the ball forward so that we have things like this in front of us to vote on as we keep making the progress that one of my colleagues mentioned earlier. So thank you, Ms. Heller.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, any other questions or comments from members of council? Thank you, Ms. Heller. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Guyatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-K.
Summary of this resolution is that the grant agreement binding the city and any amendments may be executed by the mayor. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Guyatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I will accept a motion and then a second to consider resolutions 10L through 10N as a group, and then I'll ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Dr. Enix.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Guyatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Council members, to read the resolution.
Thanks. 10L through 10N, certificates of appropriateness under the provision of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance are hereby granted for 458 Center Street to replace existing wood porch decking with composite decking, 520 North New Street to install three new exterior signs, 405 High Street to remove existing shingles and replace them with GAF slate lime shingles. The resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion on the certificates of appropriateness? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Guyatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. That concludes our agenda. Moving on to new business, I had a couple of general things I would like to bring up before I open it up to other members of council. Starting with, we had heard comments tonight about the microphones. I thank our city clerk for changing the sensitivity of the microphones, so we have heard people's comments and now we have addressed it, so our microphones have been made a little more sensitive to help those in the audience hear us better. And then correction, with the help of the clerk's office, the IT department changed the sensitivity to the microphones. Also, before I turn to some more pressing directly council business, I did just want to recognize to everyone, especially those that have been here for the last 2 years, and really thank everyone. It was St. Patrick's Day of 2020 when we all got together in this room, when COVID-19 was something new, and everyone had their different theories and were budding infectious control experts. They weren't quite there yet, as everyone had formulated their opinions, but St. Patrick's Day of 2020 was the last time we were here before we completely had shut down. I remember a group of us met upstairs, kind of speculating of what was going to happen. We even had, I believe, a Saturday morning meeting as we had to vote on certain things to be able to operate and conduct certain business. And the last 2 years, whether you work in healthcare, like our trustee doctor, or education, or any sector of our society, the last 2 years have been very, very challenging and stressful for just about everyone. The city, as is one of the main goals of the new administration, continuing to push forward with COVID relief. And we as a council look forward to continuing to support all that. And 2 years later, it's nice to sit here as a council and see each other's faces. Even though some faces are new, even the new faces, this is the first time I've been able to sit up here and see everybody. So I'll say it's been a long 2 years, it's been a stressful 2 years. But I am thankful for all those who keep coming to work every day at City Hall, for my colleagues, new and previous, who have been here throughout, including our current mayor, who have been here and doing what we can to continue seeing the light and coming out of the other side of this. A big matter of business specific to City Council is on the city's website, we posted a vacancy. We are going to be looking for a new city clerk. For all of our YouTube viewership and those following, our trustee, Mr. Vidoni here, will be moving not too far, just occupying a different space here at City Hall. Another department's going to be lucky to have him. But after today was his last full-time day with us in the council office. So I'll just start by making my comments and thanking Mr. Vidoni for his years of service to City Council, to the city. I first met Mr. Vidoni a number of years ago. We were both volunteers for the Human Relations Commission, and then I came on to council, and he started working first as the assistant city clerk and the last couple years as the city clerk. And Mr. Vidoni has been a great resource to council, has been a great resource to the city, will continue to be a great resource to the city. While not thrilled that he's leaving, I'm thankful that he's not going too far. I have a cell phone number, so I always know how to get a hold of him. And it really has been a pleasure working with you for the last couple months sitting next to you, but just in a broader sense, thank you for all you've done. I don't know if many people realize the work that we all seven of us, part-timers in the sense that we have full-time positions and occupations that occupy our time, our attention, and Mr. Vidoni, with the help of Mrs. Calachava, our assistant city clerk, keep council on task, organize the meetings, make sure things are communicated to us, coordinate things with the administration, do research, keep me on task now in this position as the city council president. And there's a lot of thoughtful time and energy that comes out of that office. And again, I thank Mr. Vidoni. I wish him nothing but the best in his new position. This may be the last time we see him up here in this capacity. We may see him at the lectern in the future for his new job. I can't promise we'll be easy on him. And really just all the best. For those following along, also on the city's website, you will see we have the city clerk position posted. It is currently up for all those interested candidates can read the job description, and city council will be fielding applications through next Thursday, so Thursday of next week. I'll turn to other council members for any comments or any business. I'll start with Ms. Leon.
I just wanted to echo what the mayor said and thank Chief Offey for all of his years of dedication and service. The city is very, very, very blessed to have you here. You're just an absolute rock star. So I just wanted to say that and to say it's going to be very difficult to not have you here. I'm very excited to see what you're going to do in your new position in the city. I think you're going to be an asset on the administration side, but we're going to feel your absence, and it was a pleasure and an honor to work with you.
Dr. Manhart.
I think Mr. Colon summed up most of the praise that I would have for Mr. Vidoni and his service here. We're a collection of seven different people with different passions and interests, and you superimpose that on top of the chaos caused by COVID, and I always knew that Mr. Vidoni had a steady hand at the helm, and it made all the difference in the world, and thank you.
Councilwoman Wall.
It's only been 6 months, I think, since I've known Mr. Vidoni, but in the 2 months that I've been serving on council, 2+ months, you were indispensable, and I, you know, again, Mr. Colon, you voiced all of the diligence and the research, but I just want to add that to have you be so willing and warm about it has been incredibly meaningful to a new council person, so thank you so much.
Dr. E?
Well, I just met him 43 days ago, and it was that evening, February 1st, he came over to me, and he was so gracious. I love him. And he's helped me with my issues, which are between the two of us, and he's just been very attentive. I will miss him, but I wish the best for him, okay?
Well, first I want to thank Chief Aki. 30 years is a long time, and thank you for your service. It's much appreciated. And I don't know what to say. I mean, everyone has already expressed, and there's no words that I can express all my gratitude to Mr. Vidoni. Your guidance and support has been superior and unbelievable for me for the last 2 years, 2.5 years. And I'm really going to miss you, but I really am happy for you, and I wish you all the best. Also, ironically, when President Colon spoke about 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I'm sure everyone remembers, Mr. Gallagher asked people to do the Bethlehem moment, historical moments in Bethlehem. And he asked me at that time, around St. Paddy's Day, if I would talk about the Irish in Bethlehem. And I actually prepared a little blurb on the Irish in Bethlehem. And now 2 years later, I think it's really fitting that I can I do this tonight. So here we go. Diúit, which is good day in Gaelic. As we commemorate Irish American Heritage Month, I'd like to share a wee bit of history on the Irish in Bethlehem. The first settlers to the Lehigh Valley and Bethlehem in particular were Scots-Irish. That first wave of immigrants predates the 1742 Moravians and arrived in 1728 to build the Craig Settlement in Northampton County. Between 1850 and 1934, Irish immigrants arrived just in time for the canal building boom. The saying was that all you needed to build a canal was a pick, a shovel, a wheelbarrow, and an Irishman. 1,000 Irish workers, with help from local German farmers, built the Lehigh Navigation Canal, finishing the 46-mile route that carried anthracite coal from the mines to the market in record time. The Irish workers were instrumental in building all the anthracite canals and later the railroads that ultimately replaced them. The Irish famine years of the 1840s triggered further Irish immigration. In 1850, Irish immigrants made up more than half of the foreign-born residents of Pennsylvania. How fitting that Bethlehem's first mayor hailed from Ireland. Andrew Horford Boyle emigrated from Burtonport, Ireland to New Orleans, then moved to Bethlehem when he attended Lafayette College. He was a successful engineering merchant and was mayor of Bethlehem for 27 years, from 1886 to his death in 1913, well before term limits. In 1900, prior to the expansion of the steel mills, the Native Americans, Irish, and German immigrants dominated the population of South Bethlehem. John Fritz, of Scot-Irish descent, was known as the father of U.S. iron and steel industry, and in 1860 he became the general superintendent and chief engineer of the Bethlehem Iron Works. Irish immigrants faced discrimination and were vilified as lazy, drunken, dishonest, and as Catholics, un-American. The 19th century found most Irish immigrants and their first and second generation descendants at the bottom of the social and economic scale. No Irish need apply signs were frequently displayed. Strikes and violent confrontations between miners, steel workers, and others against increasingly remote, wealthy, and autocratic owners did little to help. However, those difficulties led the Irish American to form strong community supports such as churches, parochial schools, colleges, social groups, beneficial societies, and political groups. These all help promote many second and third generation Irish Americans into the middle class and into positions of socioeconomic and political power in Pennsylvania and the nation. In 1861, Holy Infancy Church was established as a parish in South Bethlehem and was the first Catholic church in Northampton County with a very large Irish American congregation. South Bethlehem's first burgess, James McManaman, a respected Irish citizen, had become an active participant in the organization of Holy Infancy. Patrick Brighty, an Irish immigrant who came to America in 1850 from County Meath, Northern Ireland, was also a dedicated founding parishioner of Holy Infancy Church. Patrick Brighty was a superintendent of furnaces for the Bethlehem Iron Company. In March of 1894, he was appointed postmaster of South Bethlehem, with the post office located at the corner of 4th and Broadhead Avenue. Brighty was also a member of the school board and was on the committee for building the Central High School, Webster, Excelsior, and Packer schools. Like him, many community members of Irish descent contributed to the community by the close of the century, including John Donegan, Charles Quinn, Jane Brocco, and Thomas O'Reilly. And we cannot forget the Irish American women of Bethlehem. Unfortunately, and as usual, there is not much written about them in the history books. My uncle, Jim Bonner, hailed from County Donegal in Ireland, and he and his wife, Elter, gave birth to their daughter, Cynthia Bonner, in Bethlehem in 1935. Cynthia Bonner graduated from Liberty High School and joined the Air Force upon graduation from nursing school. Cynthia rose to the rank of Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force and served as an air evacuation nurse in Vietnam and Director of Nursing at Howard Air Force Base in Panama. She also assisted in the aftermath of the Reverend Jim Jones disaster. In retirement, Cynthia continued administrating nursing services at Mayor Air Force Base and the County of Sacramento. My cousin Cynthia loved her country, her hometown of Bethlehem, and her Irish heritage. While Cynthia lived throughout the world, she always spoke fondly of her days growing up in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was always close to her heart. Bethlehem has been blessed with many Irish immigrants and their descendants, contributing to our great city and to those we are forever grateful. In the present day, Bethlehem hosts the Celtic Cultural Alliance, an educational nonprofit organization that hosts many Celtic cultural events throughout the year. The resurgence of Celtic culture in the Valley through organizations like the Ancient Order of Hibernians, O'Grady Quinlan Irish Dance School, and Scottish Pipe Bands made it a natural place to start one of the major Celtic festivals in North America, Celtic Classic, bringing almost 300,000 people annually to Bethlehem. I wish to thank Joe McCarthy of Holy Infancy Parish and my good friend Timothy Brighty, descendant of Patrick Brighty, for their invaluable contributions to this history of Irish Americans in Bethlehem. And a special thanks to my cousin Cynthia Bonner for her selfless contributions in serving our country. May the roads rise to meet you as Irish Americans pay homage to our patron St. Patrick this Thursday, March 17th. Sláinte and Sith.
Thank you, Ms. Cranty-Smith. Any other comments from members of council? Councilwoman
Cuyate. Mr. I just want to also congratulate Chief Aki on his 30th anniversary with the city and thank him for his service. And I've known Mr. Bodoni maybe a little longer than some of you because we worked on a project together with Mayor Reynolds. We've talked about the communication survey, and that was part of the Bethlehem 2017, I think is when it started. He was always great and helped us really get that project over the line, over the finish line. So I knew what I was getting into when taking this position and how valuable he would be and how great he would be to work with. So it is disappointing to not have a longer stretch of time together. But I'm, of course, wishing you very well, Mr. Bodoni, and big shoes to fill, but we'll do our best.
Mayor Reynolds?
Yeah, just a couple things. One is we will be doing our Irish flag raising on Thursday at 1 p.m. if anybody's able to make it. I just wanted to also follow up on Dr. Van Wert's comments before, and which we really appreciate. And, you know, I think that one of the things I learned on council, I've certainly learned in the last 2 months, is how long it takes to get anything done. From, you know, it starts with an idea, and then you start talking about, you know, the bidding and writing the bids, and then you're putting them out for bid, and you're trying to locate the funds and the contract execution, and then it comes into the implementation, and you're right. It's, you know, we're all passionate about issues, but, you know, progress is a grind. And I think that one of the things that we're fortunate about is that on every level of this building, we have professionals that are doing that, grinding out work every single day. And obviously council is a huge part of that, but we really appreciate your comments. And I can tell you that, you know, there's not, you know, a big part of when decisions are made about where funds are to go come out of what comes up at city council meetings, what comes up in those conversations between city council members and members of the administration. So I want to thank everyone for that. And then finally, just, you know, I wanted to add my own kind of, you know, comments on Mr. Vidoni, who I think is the most popular member of the administration, and you're not even here yet, so you should enjoy that moment. But I got to know Mr. Vidoni. I believe you joined the clerk's office 2014, I believe it was, 2015?
Probably
15. Yeah. 2015, and I know that personally when I was president and member of city councils, you know, it was Mr. Vidoni was the guy to go to for research projects, but also just understanding how city council works, what is possible, what is not possible, the rules. I would use the term a master of the procedures of city council, and, you know, just a great resource for, you know, when I was president and in the office, as far as somebody that would know the deadlines of the legal requirements, what would happen if you decide to take action in different ways, and just lay out all the different options and never make any decisions, but just basically say these are what the options are in front of city council. And that's difficult work to do, because I think it was Dr. Van Orden said, is you have seven members of city council who often also have different full-time jobs with different schedules, so they're available to talk to at different times. So I know sometimes you would call Mr. Vidoni, and then he would have to talk to a different member who wasn't free from their job till 3 o'clock, and then you'd have to call the other member at 4:30, and then get back to you the next day. But in between, you always got emails saying, I have to talk to Dr. Van Wert at 3 o'clock or whatever. And that's an easy job to get on the wrong side of elected officials, and I think Mr. Vidoni never did that. And that is quite the skill, and that is a testament to his passion, his hard work, and just his professionalism. And, you know, I think that it, you know, if there's such a thing as city clerk DNA, Mr. Vidoni had it, as far as how to do that job. And like I said, personally, he was always just an absolute ally and resource, as far as what was possible when we were in city council. So, city council is going to miss him, but as was mentioned before, he is moving to a position related to housing. So we will be seeing a lot of Mr. Vidoni, in and around, and everybody here will have a lot of opportunities to meet with Mr. Vidoni and talk about all the things we're doing with affordable housing and homelessness and CDBs and everything else. So congratulations, Mr. Vidoni.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Before we adjourn tonight, I'm going to give Mr. Vidoni the floor to make a few comments.
So I don't think anybody's heard me editorialize. You've never heard a soliloquy from me. So staffers, you know, smart staffers keep those things to a minimum. But, you know, that I am so excited to be moving into the administration and to help the mayor and community and economic development, you know, keep the city moving forward. And it's also a bittersweet moment. It is bittersweet because I absolutely love working with the people sitting up at this table. These council members are, the amount of time that they spend on council activities, meeting with residents, meeting with organizations, you know, getting flack on social media, helping people solve their problems, really very few people see that, and that's a unique perspective that I have. I see them do that every day. If they were being, you know, paid by the hour, the rate might be so low as to be illegal. They really are constantly, even though they have other jobs, they pour their heart and soul into this. And you know what? That's why I love to work at City Hall. I spent years in law firms where people, you know, are falling over one another to brag about their cars and their houses and their vacations. You never hear that here. People are here to serve the people of Bethlehem. And it's not just the people on council. It's the people sitting over in the administration section. They're doing this not to make money, but to help people in the city. And it's really been a refreshing thing to see. And so I am going to really miss working directly with the council members. I know I'm going to be moving into what may be uncomfortable hot seat at different points, but it's going to be a different perspective. But I'm very excited to go over there, and this has been an absolute honor and a privilege to work with all of you. And I also want to thank Judy Kelechava, the assistant city clerk. I absolutely could not do this job without her. She's an amazing asset. And President Colon, thank you so much for all your understanding and assistance and guidance in this job. And it's been an honor and a privilege, and thank you.
This meeting is adjourned.
Well said.
I made myself a full set of braces.
You make up for the other half. Congratulations, sir.
Robert, welcome to the team. I'm very, very happy for you. Well deserved.
Thank you very much.
Now he has nights at home.
No.
We'll see. I don't know. Maybe more nights at home.
Yeah. Once you get situated, anything you need, don't hesitate to stop down, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right. I'll see you all later. Take care.
Thank you. Robert, I don't think you know what I've done 24 hours.